Welcome to Deception in the Last Days with your host, Randy Shelton. Randy is a member of the Biblical Discernment and Research Center. He has been studying cults and new religious movements for over 30 years. Join Randy as he discerns the deception going on now in the last days.
This is the 53rd podcast under the general topic of liberalism, the new improved broad road to destruction. And we are continuing with our look at the ghost of liberalism present, particularly progressive Christianity, so-called, and one of its leaders, Jim Wallis. I plan on digressing a little bit today to look at a liberal, what I'm calling a liberal current events, or an event, and that is the movie The Shack is going to be opening on March the 3rd, from what I understand, of this year. So that's only less than 2 weeks away, I believe, from the time I'm doing this podcast. last week I quoted from a Wikipedia article concerning Jim Wallis, among other things. And since I quoted this article, it dawned on me right afterwards that it was from a Wikipedia article. I actually said it was from WikiLeaks. So it wasn't from WikiLeaks, but, that's kind of in the news a lot these days. So that's a little quality control there. I wanted to bring that up. For those of you who were listening closely, you may have caught that. But anyway, Jim Wallis is, has, many associations, which I want to touch on. We're going to, as I say, kind of finish up here on Jim Wallis, and then after we look at The Shack, probably next week or the next couple of weeks, we will look at another major leader in the progressive Christianity movement, and of course who I've also spoken of in the past, whose name will remain secret. No, I'm just kidding. Tony Campolo. We want to look a little bit in more in detail into this guy's life. So anyway, moving right along, Wallace's associations, among other things, as we mentioned last week, he has basically some of his associations politically. He's somewhat of a Marxist, but also in the vein of spirituality, he claims to be evangelical Christian. And this, again, we've covered quite a bit about him, but I just want to make the point of there is a website called Spirituality and Practice, and I've gone to it before because they have what are known as a Living Spiritual Teachers Project, where they have several different people in alphabetical order who they look to as living spiritual teachers. And of course, these folks range from all types of false religions and cults to, of course, progressivism with people like Jim Wallis. But I just wanted to mention a few here. Desmond Tutu, who I've mentioned before, and I'll talk a little bit more about him down the road, is one of the living spiritual teachers. Richard Rohr, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, he's a contemplative guy that's very popular, Catholic contemplative. It continues to go downhill from there. But anyway, on this particular site, Jim Wallis is listed as an evangelical Christian activist for social change and justice, otherwise known as social justice, social gospel type stuff. And of course, he's the founder and editor-in-chief of Sojourners, which we talked a little bit about last week. others that are on this website, Living Spiritual Teachers, just to mention a few, just so you can see the diverse, or should I say perverse, nature, spiritually speaking, of those that are associated with Wallis here. A couple, of course, are well known for their New Age type beliefs and teachings. Eckhart Tolle, or Toll, however you pronounce his name, has been on Oprah. Oprah's, of course, really has been really big on this guy. He's written a lot of very popular books. He's a commentator on New Consciousness, a best-selling author on spirituality. And then Ken Wilber, a transpersonal psychologist and philosopher, founder and president of the Integral Institute, author of 22 books translated in up to 30 languages. And of course, I've seen some of his books when I lived in Los Angeles at the New Age bookstores. So, and there's more. There's Buddhists and, all types of false religions represented here as living spiritual teachers. of which Jim Wallace is right, you know, square in the middle of. Now, I've been talking to you in the past about some of these field trips that I've taken to liberal churches and other liberal destinations over the years. And so I want to speak about another one today because it was not sponsored by Sojourners, but the keynote speaker was someone by the name of Lisa Sharon Harper, who is the Chief Church Engagement Officer for Sojourners. She was the founding executive director of New York Faith and Justice, an organization at the hub of a new ecumenical movement to end poverty in New York City. She's written extensively on tax reform, comprehensive immigration reform, health care reform, poverty, racial justice, and transformational civic engagement for publications and blogs, including, and then, you know, people like the Huffington Post and other liberal rags. But when I went to this local location for this event, one of the things that I noticed really right off the bat was one of the breakout workshops that was taking place was called Organizing for Action by someone named Carla Wallace was leading this. And based on her experience as an activist, Carla presents a framework, it says, for people working together for change across cultural, social, racial, and economic boundaries. And outside, of course, of her workshop was a big sign that said, Black Lives Matters. And, you know, in other words, this was representing Black Lives Matter. And I thought, oh, and this is a Christian gathering, I thought. Well, anyway, I didn't get a chance to sit in on that. I did hear Lisa Sharon Harper's talk. She actually spoke on, one of the things she spoke on was she did a sermon on Matthew 25. Now, did I hear the preaching of the biblical gospel in that sermon? No, I did not. And was I shocked? Well, no, I was not. And of course, I didn't expect that I would hear that because, of course, they have bigger fish to fry, and that is, you know, creating the kingdom of God here on earth through their social gospel. But anyway, during this pseudo-Christian meeting, during the Youth Diversity Award presentation, everyone was led to sing, I suppose their equivalent of a hymn. And it was, We Are a Gentle and Angry People. So that was something. And then on the program bulletin, we were blessed, and I'm being facetious, of course, being sarcastic here, but at the back of the program, we were blessed with Pope Francis's Prayer for the Earth. And I'm going to read that to you here. All-powerful God, you are present in the whole universe and in the smallest of your creatures. You embrace with your tenderness all that exists. Pour out upon us the power of your love that we may protect life and beauty. Fill us with peace that we may live as brothers and sisters, harming no one. O God of the poor, help us rescue the abandoned and the forgotten. And it goes on and on. But, the point of it was, touch the hearts of those who look only for gain at the expense of the poor and the earth. Teach us to discover the worth of each thing and to recognize that we are profoundly united with every creature. Sounds a little pantheistic to me. Enlighten us that we may avoid the sin of indifference, that we love the common good, advance the weak, and care for this world in which we live. Encourage us, we pray, in our struggle for justice, love, and peace. Amen. And that was the Pope Francis encyclical letter in 2015. And Many Faiths, One Heart, and Common Action is written right below that. Many faiths. Many faiths. Jesus said there's one way to God, as I have often known to remind you, and I'm pretty sure you all get it. Unfortunately, these folks don't, and therefore we need to be warned about what's taking place in our world. Now, I want to take this time to give a little update on the Shaq movie that's coming out, as I mentioned. And then, as I say, next week we will get back on track. Well, this may bleed over into next week's podcast too a little bit more. I may not have time to cover all this that I want to say about the Shaq, so we'll just take it, cross that bridge when we come to it. But eventually we're going to get back to the ghost of liberalism past and progressive Christianity. I mean, the ghost of liberalism present is what I hoped that I said. Anyway, Now, I think the shack, well, it's, you know, this movie that's coming out soon, I said March the 3rd, as I understand. I'm going to give you a spoiler alert, as they say, you know, one of those spoiler alerts. And my spoiler alert would be, don't waste your money on this movie. This movie is based, of course, on the best-selling heretical novel by William P. Young. And, you know, I think that from what I remember, from what I heard before, back when, oh, several years ago when the book came out and was such a phenomenal success, as I recall, and I can't vouch for 100% accuracy on this, but I can say that from what I understand, there were many publishers that turned this down, this book, The Shack, down, and that it was self-published after, it seems like 20 publishers I heard, but again, I won't vouch for that accuracy of that number of publishers, but it was rejected, and because of the bad theology. Now, publishers nowadays have gotten worse, in my opinion, and many of them, most are not even owned by Christian companies. So when the dollar is the bottom line, we can expect more of the same. And you know, so that can be expected that so many publishing companies are putting out such junk and false teaching and such. But what really affects me by all this is the realization that the Christian public, for the many in the Christian public, gobbled this up, The Shack, this book. And of course, I think that's as good as any sign of the apostasy that we are really involved in with here, and the great event of the apostasy that the Bible warns in the last days will take place. Now, let's look a little bit. I actually have really four different reviews and a booklet on The Shack, as well as some of Ron Rhodes' comments that I want to get to as well. And chances are I may not make it through all of this material, like I said, and so we will hit on it, you know, next week if necessary. And I've spoken somewhat on The Shack in some of the past podcasts, but repetition, you know, is good, especially in this case where many more people may be deceived now that this book has hit the big screen. Now, also, and I'm confident we're not going to have time for this week, or maybe even not next week, but if I can't get around to actually getting the sound bite for you to hear it for yourself straight from the horse's mouth, I will at least read from the transcript of an interview with Pastor Kendall Adams, who interviewed William P. Young, who wrote The Shack, and in that radio interview, Young made it clear of at least one of his heretical beliefs. I'll save that, leave you in suspense on that one. We may hit that before the day's out, but I will either read that transcript or let you hear the sound bite as it works out, hopefully, you know, next week. Now, first thing I want to say is there is an older newsletter, of course, a ministry that I like very much, the Berean Call, the August 2009 newsletter. Of course, they had a big review of The Shack, and in that particular, on the cover of that newsletter, there's a picture of the book, The Shack, and at the very top, the header, I guess you would say, across the top, it really speaks to what liberalism has and is still attempting to do. And that is, and this is what the header reads, reimagining, reinventing, renovating, repainting, recreating God. And that is, you know, in the title of the cover story, in fact, was Refashioning God by T.A. McMahon. And I want to read a little bit from that article and other things here as well. As I mentioned, I'd like to get some of these comments that Ron Rhodes made. And if I don't make it through all of these reviews, I will, you know, either way, you're going to get the websites for all of these reviews so you can check them out for yourself. But I'm going to try to get through some of this. There might be a certain amount of repetition here, but I want to get through this. So that you can once again, be forearmed is forewarned, and you can warn any of your friends who might be wanting to waste their time, money, and their doctrinal purity on this movie. This is from the article. It says, recently The Shack has been approaching sales of 7 million copies. Of course, this was back in August 2009. It says, while the novel breaks sales records, it also breaks with the traditional understanding of God and Christian theology. And therein lies the rub. Does a work of Christian fiction have to be doctrinally correct? It says, who is the author? William P. Young, or William Paul Young, a man I have known for over a dozen years, about 4 years ago. And let me back up here. This is an excerpt of a review by James B. D. Young, no relation to Mr. Young, but from Western Theological Seminary. Okay, this is not Mr. McMahon's article. This is he wrote an article separate from this. But this is James B. D. Young's article, and many of you are probably familiar with this and have heard this, but let's look into it. Who is the author? William P. Young, a man I have known for over a dozen years. Mr. D. Young has known Mr. Young for over a dozen years. It would be even longer now. About 4 years ago, Paul embraced Christian universalism and has defended this view on several occasions. While he frequently disavows general universalism, the idea that many roads lead to God, he has affirmed his hope that all will be reconciled to God either this side of death or after death. Christian universalism, also known as universal reconciliation, asserts that love is the supreme attribute of God that trumps all others. His love reaches beyond the grave to save all those who refuse Christ throughout their lifetimes. Even fallen angels and the devil himself will one day repent, be delivered from hell and enter heaven. There cannot be left in the universe any being whom the love of God does not conquer. Hence the words, universal reconciliation. Many others have pointed out the theological errors they find in the book. They fault Young's view of Revelation and the Bible, his presentation of God, the Holy Spirit, Jesus' death, and the meaning of reconciliation, and the subversion of institutions that God has ordered, such as the government of the local church. But the common thread tying all these errors together is Christian universalism. A study of the history of universal reconciliation, which goes back to as early as the 3rd century, shows that all of these doctrinal deviations, including opposition to the local church, are characteristics of universalism. In modern times, it has undermined evangelical faith in Europe and America. It has joined with Unitarianism to form the Unitarian Universalist Church, or actually cult. It would be a better term than church. By comparing the creeds of universalism with a careful reading of The Shack, one discovers how deeply universalism is embedded within the book. And then he gives some evidence here. I think I'm going to move at this point. I may come back to this article if I have time. I'm going to move forward to look at some of the other things here with the time I have remaining. Ron Rhodes has made several comments. He says that this book has a unbiblical view of God. It says it seems to teach tritheism, despite the fact that the author portrays the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit saying, we are not three gods. So, you know, he seems to teach it even though he's saying, you know, in the book, we are not three gods. He's having God say that in the book, Young is. Then another comment, observation Ron Rhodes makes, a false view of the incarnation. The book sets forth a false view of the incarnation. The book states, we three spoke ourselves into human existence as the Son of God. In other words, and the whole Trinity, you know, it was not incarnated. Only the Son was. These are Rhodes' words. John 1:14 tells us that. And his deity did not become humanity, but rather he assumed a human nature in addition to his divine nature. Only the Son was incarnated, John 1:14. You can read that for yourself on your own time. but the Word became flesh is what that verse is talking about. Now, again, this is how you can see this fits into my study of liberalism, because this is obviously the same. Some of these views are the same that, you know, liberals have held and do hold and are still trying to promote in various formats and in various, as it morphs into various different terms for liberalism. Traditional Christianity is wrong. Okay, another thing that's Ron Rhodes observed is the traditional approach to Christianity is all wrong. See, we have to reimagine, we have to reinvent, we have to repaint, recreate God and be and renovate, you know, renovate God. An unbiblical view of sin. According to Mr. Young and Ron Rhodes observes, God does not need to punish sin. Papa, who is God the Father, who's actually a black female, said, "I am not who you think I am. I don't need to punish people for sin. Sin is its own punishment, devouring you from the inside. It is not my purpose to punish it. It's my joy to cure it." He has an imbalanced understanding of God, and you know, God is loving and kind, but not so much holy and just, is, I believe, what Ron Rhodes is trying to say there. Now, or he's saying it, I'm trying to say it the way I believe he was saying it, put it that way. False view of salvation. The book portrays a false view of salvation. Christ is just the best ways to relate to the Father, not the only way. That's from page 109 in the book. Of course, it's one of the top-selling books in Christian history. I don't think that needs to be respoken. It speaks for itself. It's coming out as a movie, for crying out loud. Personal experiences are supreme in the shack. Personal experience trumps revelation. You know, and that is that what God has revealed in His Word. Well, personal experience trumps that. In the final analysis, it is experience that is used to interpret the Bible. It is not the Bible that is used to interpret experience. And that's always a problem. And that's a problem that takes place in many cults and in liberalism in general. Now, another review was done by Norman Geisler and a man named Bill Roach. And the title of that is The Shack, Helpful or Heretical? And there is a lot of information. This is actually on a PDF file that you can still get. Just look, you know, I'm not going to give you the websites because I believe it's been shifted to another website, but you can Google it and you can find this Shack, Helpful or Heretical by Geisler and Roach and check it out for yourself. And you know, it's significant to me, or it's interesting to me with Geisler here. I like using his Essential Doctrine Made Easy fold-out pamphlet, and one of the number 10, Christ's Atoning Death, is one of the essential doctrines that Dr. Geisler tells us about. And this is another one of the biblical doctrines that falls in the wake of the Shack's heretical view, and Mr. Young, particularly his view. And of course, we'll look at that more in detail next week, as I mentioned earlier. And possibly a soundbite on that. Now, I'm not going to, at this time, maybe next week, look more at Mr. Geisler's article, but I wanted to at least mention it in light of the fact that the Essential Doctrine foldout is such a handy tool and, you know, deals with some of these things. And in particular, what came to mind was the atonement, which is under attack, of course, by so many in the emerging church and other factions or, you know, groups that are liberal, very liberal in their orientation. Now, there's another excellent article that was written some time ago called 13 Heresies in the Shack, by Dr. Michael Youssef. Dr. Youssef is an Egyptian pastor in Atlanta, and I enjoy listening to his preaching and teaching, but I also very much enjoyed this article that he put out some time ago. And 13 Heresies in the Shack. Again, I may not have time to go through each and every one of those. I'm looking at the clock, and I'm going to, like I say, next week we may go into a little bit more detail from these articles. But once again, you can find this article online. Just Google 13 heresies in the shack, because I printed these out some time ago and they could have shifted to different websites. So, but I know you can find it because I just found it recently. Anyway, now another one I thought was good was from the gotquestions.org site. And this is a review of the shack. Of course, he mentions the obvious, and that is that Young in the shack has a very low view of Scripture, like all liberals do. And also at the end, and this is at the end of the article, because I'm not going to go into, again, won't have the time to go into much detail. At the end of the article, there's the comment, but it's only fiction. Now, I don't know how many of you who ever talk to people who rave about the shack has heard this. It's almost like a standard line you're going to hear from people who are promoting the shack, people who are Christians or claim to be Christians. And after raving about how awesome this book is and how this book changed their life and it's the greatest thing since sliced bread and, you know, it ought to be the 67th book of the Bible. They don't really say that, but they act as though, you know, this book changed my life. What could I do without it? I mean, really? This book changed your life? What about the Bible? What about God's Holy Spirit and His inspired scriptures work in your life? But it wasn't until this book came along that you had this dynamic help and change in your life, so that, you know, we've got to elevate this book, this heretical book, to such a level. You know, I'll just mention, you know, that little headline there, or that little paragraph title, but it's only fiction. It says, some defend the shack by saying it's only a work of fiction. But if you're going to have God as a character in your fiction, then you must deal with God as He has revealed Himself in Scripture. By using the Trinity as characters, the shack is clearly indicating that it's talking about the God of Christianity. But God has said certain things about Himself in Scripture, and much of what's in this novel contradicts that. And we've pointed that out. Now, again, you can find that at the gotquestions.com site, or .org, excuse me. And finally, as we run out of time, Warren Smith has a booklet, The Shack and Its New Age Leaven, which is published by Lighthouse Trails Publications. And this is a publisher, one of the very, very few that is a Christian publishing company, that is not in it for the money, has not been bought out by secular interests. So I recommend all those resources to you. And, of course, with a few seconds that we have left, I'm going to close and just exhort you to warn people about this movie, that it is not biblical, it is worse than not biblical, it is heretical.